That's a weak praise. Come on, y'all give God some praise in the house that you know that God deserves it this morning. Amen. Come on, give God a real praise like you know he deserves it. Like God's been good to you. Like God's done something for you. Like God's made a way. Like God's opened the door. Anybody here grateful for God this morning? I dare you just to lift your hands and tell God, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you. You deserve my praise, God. You deserve the glory, God. You deserve all the honor because you've been good to me. Amen. Matter of fact, hug somebody, tell them God's been good to me. I don't know what you need God to do for you, but God has been good. God's been good to me. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. Hope y'all doing all right this morning. Amen. I want to thank you for your continued prayers. I don't know about you, but I'm still seeing progress. Amen. And so I thank you because I know that y'all have been praying and I can feel the prayers and I'm grateful for each and every one of your prayers. Amen. Amen. And we thank God, those who are watching online, we just thank God that God is still God because God is a good God. Amen. Amen. Look at somebody telling him he's a good God. That's all I show enough good God. Amen. Amen. And we thank God that we serve a good God and we are grateful for all that that means for us as children of this good God. Won't you grab your neighbor by the hand as we go to God in a word of prayer, thanking God not by might nor by power, but by his spirit. God, in Jesus' name, we thank you. God, we thank you, God, in this moment. God, have your way. God, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, God. What is it? The word, God, and the word, God, that we are elevated, that we are encouraged, that we are uplifted. God, is the word of God that delivers us, saves us, heals us, comforts us. God, is the word of God that reminds us of the promises that you've given to us. So God, in the name Lord Jesus, we thank you for the hand that we hold. God, we do not come praying selfishly, but God, we come praying for our neighbor. God, we squeeze our neighbor's hand to let them know that whatever they are in need of, that we are believing that you are working it out for them. So God, in the name Lord Jesus, we don't just give you praise for what you're doing for us, but God, we give you praise for what you're doing for our neighbor, what you're doing for our queue. God, we thank you, God, for every blessing. Now, God, in the name Lord Jesus, God, decrease me, increase your spirit in me, God. Where I'm weak, God, you be my strength. It's in Jesus' name we want to say thank you. In Jesus' name, let the church say amen, amen, and amen. Come on, put those hands together and give God some praise in the house. If you would turn with me to John, the 21st chapter. John, the 21st chapter. The Gospel of John. New Testament. Amen. Just in case you didn't know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. It is the fourth book of the New Testament. And we thank God. John, the 21st chapter. I know most of y'all ain't got Bibles. Y'all got phones. Amen. So I already know you're cheating because you just go to your phone and just hit the little tab. It's all good. Do what you need to do. Amen. John, the 21st chapter, looking at verses 1 through 9 and then looking at verses 15 through 17. Verses 1 through 9, it says, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, and also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called to them, friends, haven't you caught any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciples whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples swallowed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And then looking at verse 15 in that same chapter, it says, when they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? He answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said to Simon, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. I want to preach this morning, if y'all don't mind, for the time that is allotted at this Hope Happy. Yeah, I want to preach on the certain topic, I'm still good enough. Look at your neighbor, tell them, I'm still good enough. I'm still. Look at somebody in back of you, in front of you, let them know I've been looking at the back of your head long enough. And just tell them and tap them and say, I'm still good enough. What I have learned in life is that one of the hardest things many times to overcome is the feeling like we just don't measure up. Many times we don't reach for our dreams. We don't run after our promise and our purpose because we struggle with whether we are actually good enough. I think part of the reason is because if there's anyone who keeps record of our failures, who keeps record of our mistakes, our losses and our defeats, it's us. We know how many losses are on our score sheet. We know the real explanation for why things didn't work out, why things fell through, and why things didn't happen the way it was expected to. And we usually blame ourselves internally, even if we outwardly accuse others of sabotage. Telling yourself that a failure, what a failure you are, won't make you any more successful. Telling yourself you're not living up to your full potential won't help you to reach a higher potential. Telling yourself you're worthless and unlovable won't make you feel more worthy or lovable. The only thing we will get by adding up years of internal blame, fault, and guilt usually equals up to us having the feeling like we are just not good enough. That where we are is the best that we can do. Not sure exactly who I'm talking to, but I'm clear that this morning you're in the house. This morning that you are streaming online because you came in regardless of what you look like, regardless of what people have said about you. You came in just feeling like you aren't really good enough. And that's why I believe that this text with Peter is so powerful and poignant, because it shows us that regardless of our now place, that God is constantly trying to move us to a greater place. Here we find Peter and a few of the other disciples back doing the thing that Jesus found them doing when he recruited them and told them they would now become fishers of men. After Jesus' death, resurrection, and even these individual visits to the disciples, they still decided to go back to the very thing Jesus had brought them out of. We don't find them in cities, in towns, proclaiming that the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We don't find them letting all who will listen know that Jesus is still alive. But we find them on a boat because they went back to what they were comfortable with. They went back to what they already knew how to do. They went back to what made sense in their minds. But when we look deeper, I think the reason we find Peter back at his old job had everything to do with him feeling like he was no longer good enough to still be a disciple. You see, Peter was good enough to be chosen as one of the initial disciples. Peter was good enough to watch Jesus perform miracles. Peter was good enough to be the first to acknowledge that Jesus was the Messiah. Peter was good enough to experience what took place at the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter was good enough to have a seat at the table of the Last Supper. But something happened that now has Peter back on a boat fishing and relinquishing his discipleship duties. And upon further investigation, I believe it is what happened while Jesus was being crucified, that Jesus' top disciple was not only obviously absent while the Messiah was nailed onto a cross, but Peter also had the unmitigated gall to deny even knowing the Savior when a woman said this man was with him too. You see, I believe it was that decision that haunted Peter to the point where he allowed the ghosts of his past mistakes and failures to make him feel like he was no longer good enough to continue what he had started with Jesus. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I feel like it sounds familiar to somebody, that when we rewind it back and remix it to the 21st version, that many times it's things that have happened in our past that make us feel like we are not good enough to experience something better up ahead. A breakup or a divorce makes us wonder if we're good enough to find love again. Getting fired from a good job makes us wonder if we're good enough to find something greater in our field. Falling on hard financial times makes us wonder if we're good enough to get out of debt. A failed business venture makes us wonder if we're good enough to really be an entrepreneur. Sickness in our bodies can make us wonder if we're good enough that we'll ever be all the way healed. But I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I'm just sent by God with an assignment to hand deliver a message from the portals of heaven to tell somebody that you are still good enough. Look at somebody, tell them I'm good enough. Look at somebody else, tell them you're good enough. I don't care what you've been going through. I don't care what you've been dealing with. I don't care of the storms that you've been having to circumvent. I just came out to let you know that God wants you to know that you are still good enough. How do you know you're good enough? Let me take you to the text. The first thing I believe we can learn from the text is that the reason we know we are still good enough is because Jesus already knows everything anyway. Look at somebody telling Jesus knows everything. Here we find Reverend Bruce, we find Peter walked around with the shame, the guilt, and the remorse from denying even knowing Jesus three times and not being there for Jesus at the cross as one of his top disciples. Isn't it interesting? This is a side note that ain't even here. That all those that were on the boat, that none of them were at the cross. Lord have mercy. I'm just trying to help you understand that misery. Whew, Lord loves company. Watch who you hang with. And so I'm going to keep going. No, that ain't here. But I can only imagine how ill-equipped Peter felt with the notion of still being good enough to be a disciple. That when the ultimate test came, Peter knew that he failed miserably. And to fail is one thing, but to have failed Jesus during his time of need must have been a hard pill for Peter to now swallow. So Peter must have looked himself in the mirror at least 1,000 times and was no longer excited about the man that was looking back at him, because all he saw was disappointment. All he saw was frustration. All he saw was failure. Am I talking to somebody this morning? That sometimes when you look in the mirror and the reflection that comes back doesn't always encourage you, but it makes you feel like you're just not good enough. But what Peter had forgotten before he boarded the boat to fish, instead of continuing in his calling to disciple, is that Jesus already knew that Peter was going to fail him. Oh, matter of fact, after the Last Supper, Jesus pulled Peter up in Matthew 26:34, and he tells him, truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times. In other words, Jesus already knew that Peter was going to do to him and do wrong to him before it was even a thought in Peter's mind. Why is this important when we talk about feeling like you're good enough? I'm glad you asked. Because if Jesus already knew that Peter would deny him, why did Jesus still call Peter to be a disciple in the first place? If Jesus already knew, why did he tell Peter 10 chapters earlier in Matthew the 16th chapter, and I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Why would Jesus give this no good disciple, denying disciple, not at the cross disciple, the very keys of the kingdom? Well, could it be that Jesus is more concerned with the completion of your calling than the mistakes we make while walking in our calling? Good Lord. That Jesus already knows we will disappoint. He already knows we will fail. He already knows we'll make mistakes. But Jesus is clear that regardless of our shortcomings, that we are still good enough for what he has already promised each and every one of us. His promises do not just disappear because of our imperfections. The guarantees he has given us do not just go away because we got flaws. Good Lord. That's not how living for Jesus works. So there's no excuse that we can give to Jesus that allows us to believe that we aren't good enough. There's no sin. There's no inadequacy. There's no deficiency. There's no lapse in judgment. There's no failure. There's no breakdown. There's no loss that disqualifies us as the children of a good God. And a God is good. And we are God's children. Then we are still good enough for every blessing that God has our name slammed on it. God already knows who you are, the good stuff and the bad stuff, your strengths and your weaknesses. But God still will use you because he wants to get the glory out of your life. Tell somebody, Jesus already knows me. You can't tell me about me. You can't tell me what I've done. You can't tell me how I messed up. Because everything you know, God knows even more. God knows the stuff you don't even know. And God still wants to use me. Second thing is, you got to understand that the reason you're good enough is because Jesus still believes in you. Look at somebody telling Jesus believes in me. When we start believing that we're good enough, Reverend Ross, we actually start believing in us. You see, we can believe for family. We can see the potential in our children. We can speak life over our friends. We can encourage those in our circles. But we aren't always able to do the same thing for ourselves. Losing the lead in self is one of the most pronounced symptoms of the disease associated with those who don't feel like they aren't good enough. We still have faith that God is able, just not for us. We still know that God can work things out, just not for us. We still trust in God's provisions, just not for us. So we can see God working in everybody around us. But for some odd reason, we don't think God is, that we're good enough for God to work for us. Look at somebody telling the devil is a liar, that God still believes. Y'all don't believe me. Verse 3, it says, Simon and those with him decided to go out fishing. I like this minister group. So they went out, got into the boat. But that night, around Felicia, they didn't catch nothing. Follow me. In verse 5, Jesus comes on the scene. And although they didn't recognize him, he called out, friends, haven't you caught any fish? Sound like Joel Osteen. Friends, haven't you caught any fish? They answered, no. He then told them to throw their net on the right side of the boat. And you will find some fish. When they did it, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. You see, this is critical. Let me help you understand. Because this story is actually deja vu for Peter. You see, it was 3 years prior in Luke 5 where this is almost the exact same thing that happened when Jesus told Simon Peter that from now on you will be fishermen, you will be fishers of men. In other words, Jesus provided Peter with the same miraculous catch of fish. The first time he did it, Jesus did it in order to recruit Peter as his disciple. But the second time that Jesus did it, he did it to remind Peter where he had come from and that he still believed in him. The text wasn't about the catch of kiss, because we see in verse 9 that when they got to the shore, that Jesus had already been cooking up kiss. So it wasn't about the fish, but the reason Jesus did it is because he needed Peter to know that even though you messed up, even though you did some shady stuff, I need you to know I still believe in you. And if Jesus still would lead in him, then why don't you think that Jesus still believes in you? There's somebody here that God just wanted you to know. He still believes in you. Matter of fact, something about this Sunday almost feels like days are through. Feels like you've been here before. That's because God needed you to know and needed you to understand that he believes in you. Tell somebody, I may not be everything that I want to be, but God still believes in me. That's why I made it to church one more time. Feel like I've been here before, but Jesus needed me to know I believe in you. I may not have it together, but I believe in you. I may be making mistakes and the same mistakes, but I believe in you. Tell somebody, I believe in you. Is there anybody here that can give God glory? Because you know that you know that you know that you know that God still. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's good news right there. That's good news for somebody. You came in feeling down, but God wants to go with you with your head lifted up. Because God still... This last thing, I'm going to get y'all out of here. Last thing that will help us understand that we're still good enough isn't just that Jesus knows everything about us. It isn't just that Jesus still believes in us. But the last thing I see in this text, and I believe it's important for you to know, that Jesus still wants you to understand that you're good enough, is because Jesus still needs us to complete the assignment. Tell somebody that there's an assignment on my life. Verses 15 through 17, Reverend Doctor, we see that Jesus asked Peter three times, said, "Peter, do you love me?" He asked him three times, and he, my sheep. Can I tell you that many theologians, y'all already know, they believe that Jesus asked Peter three times because it connected to the three times that Peter denied him. So it was his way of reinstating Peter back in and let him know that everything was all right. And I do believe that that is a very poignant argument. I do believe that that is true. But I don't know. Sometimes we exegete. Sometimes we eisegete. I know y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Exegete means that you take the text for what it is. Historical context. What was going on at the time. And you quit the lens, not of your eyes, but of what was actually happening at the time, to then pull out what is going on in scripture. But eisegete means that you take your own filter, means that you use your own eyes. Can I do that for a minute? If I was at Howard University Divinity School, they tell me, please, preacher, don't eisegete. But can I tell you that every preacher got a little bit of themselves, his or herself, inside the text. So can I tell you what I feel like God told me to tell you? You see, I believe that there's something else that's operating in the text. Jesus signs Peter back fishing and knew that Peter had gone back to what he was used to, because he was doubting whether or not he was still good enough to do the work that Jesus had already called him to do. So Jesus makes it a point to remind Peter three times, not just that he already knew who Peter was, and not just that he believed in who Peter could be, but the reason he dealt with him three times is because Jesus needed him to understand that there's an assignment on your life. And I still need you to know the reason that you're good enough is because until you complete the assignment, the assignment goes undone. Y'all still ain't feeling me. Let me help somebody here. I used to teach high school, Friendly High School, and at about the mid part of the year, after looking at the grades, some had good grades, some had bad grades, but what I would do is I had a day called Make Up Assignment Day. In other words, regardless of what grades you had, I would give you the opportunity to make up what you had missed. That even though you didn't get it right the first time, even though you didn't turn it in the first time, even though you didn't complete it the first time, there's still an assignment that must be completed. And I believe that's what Jesus wants us to understand. Jesus needs us to complete the thing that he already called us to do. Is there anybody here that knows I've got an assignment on my life? It's not about how good or bad you are. It's not about whether we feel like we can handle it. It's the understanding that we're good enough because we've got an assignment to complete. Whatever God has called us to do, he has already prepared us. Whatever God has called us to do, he's already equipped us. Tell somebody, it's my assignment. I gotta complete it. You're good enough because Jesus picked you. You're good enough because Jesus chose you to do the work. And like Philippians, the first chapter, the sixth verse says, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Jesus needs you to know you got an assignment. You're good enough to marry again because you got an assignment. You're good enough to get out of debt because you got an assignment. You're good enough to start the business because you got an assignment. You're good enough to raise your children by yourself because you got an assignment. You're good enough to handle your business because you got an assignment. You're good enough to get out of that negative situation because you got an assignment. I don't know who I'm talking to, but I'm talking to somebody. You're still loved. You're still valued. You're still adored. You're still the apple of God's eye. My, because you are and forever will be a child of the Most High. And I am convinced that nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. Neither death, nor life, neither angels, nor demons, neither fears for today or worries for tomorrow. Not even the power of hell can separate us from the love of God. I wish I had one witness that would say, I'm still good enough. Put your hand on your heart. Close your eyes. And repeat this 3 times. I'm still good enough. I'm still good enough. I'm still good enough. And if you believe it and you receive it, give God a hand clap of praise. Songwriter said it like this. Please be patient with me. God is not through with me yet. Because when God gets through with me, I will come forth as pure gold. And as long as you're still here, you got an assignment on your life. Somebody here, you